Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LivePanorama.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, clearly not my government name. And I'm going to, without further ado, bring in the guy who owns the half of this place that I don't, you know, the Live Paranormal Studio, Robert Zarek. Well, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am here. How are you?
I'm here.
That's good.
But not there.
Right. Truth. Truth.
But we're both in the Live Paranormal Studio.
Yeah.
We have our own setups, and we're global.
That's right. As it should be.
Yes. Well, and
on an interesting note, I will mention that I actually, in my studio this evening, have actually already experienced some paranormal activity. So things are off to a kick and start.
I have an announcement that I have not. So.
Oh, well, it looks like your studio needs to get on the, your entities all around there need to get on the ball and start haunting your studio.
Yeah. I don't know. I have moved my studio into the part of, you know, where I do get activity, so we'll see what happens. If the lights start flickering and things are thrown at me and stuff, that would be fantastic. It would
interestingly enough, that's what I had happen. I had something get thrown across the room. I can't figure out what it was because it's not like my studio's all neat and tidy per se. It's not.
Was
stupid,
it St. Patrick's Day related?
You know, I don't think so. If so, they're very resourceful and clearly went somewhere else and got it and brought it here to throw, because I don't think there's anything in my studio right now. And I'm not wearing green. And you know what? I usually go all out. I usually, like, at least, like, you know, get my hair, like, one part of my hair green or something. It's almost as if it didn't even exist for me today. I didn't even remember till I wrote the date. And I went, oh, wow. Huh. You know, it's like, I don't know, things are just everything, with everything going on, I think I just, you know, kind of spaced out on St. Patrick's Day, so.
I'm pretty sure it was canceled.
I think so, kind of like everything else in life, you know, just kind of put on hold or, you know, completely canceled. And I couldn't do a drive, like a drive-through or carry-out St. Patty's Day, so it wasn't going to happen.
Well, and I don't think they can reschedule it.
Yeah, so that would be a little weird.
Canceled.
Canceled, yes. I guess till next year, right? Till next year.
It makes, you know, everything's been canceled. Even like, I'm like, this is the time of year that I watch college basketball. And college basketball was canceled. March Madness.
Oh, my goodness. How are you surviving?
You know what? Not well. Not well.
There's
no sports on at all. There's
keep
a little bit like,
stuff.
I'm trying to figure out like a sport that I can watch or follow or something, and there's nothing. So right now,
right.
The only thing I've got is like they opened up free agent signing period in the NFL. So I check the wire like hourly to see if there's any new breaking news, because that's all I got.
Right. Oh, that's such a sad, sad time. You poor guy. I know you rely on your sports largely.
My team is making some moves, so it's exciting because it's the time of year where we get new players in, and you know, so it's all I got. Everything else is canceled or put on hold. Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. Craziness.
So.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why our first guest, Robin Terry, is on, because he had an event, and it's unfortunately been canceled, but I know he is doing some fundraising in exchange for the event that he had canceled.
Oh.
So we'll bring him on.
Well, without further ado,
let's
bring him in here. Let's get supporting this cause. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good.
We're doing.
Yeah, we're doing.
You're doing
as best as we can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about what anybody's doing, I think, right now.
I think so. What's been going on in your world?
It hasn't bothered me yet. How about you? Like, nothing's really changed except for, like, when I go to the office, I don't have to deal with any crowds. It's like a ghost town. So it's, like, it's a little bit better because usually there's people, like, running in front of my car trying to get hit and stuff and while I'm trying to get to my parking spot. And I don't have that now. So that's the only difference.
Yeah, when I go to my office, I walk down about 20 steps from my house to my office. And so I don't have much traffic I have to worry about at all.
Boy, you guys are lucky. Okay, I drive over an hour to get to work. I will say my drive has been reduced due to everything under the sun not being open, other than gas stations and, like, banks, I guess, or something, and grocery stores that have nothing on the shelves. But it's still pretty decently far. But, yeah, there's been less people out and about, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy time right now, especially, I mean, I'm a volunteer with our fire rescue here. I'm an EMT in town, and we had a mandatory meeting tonight just to talk about the whole situation and how we're going to respond to these calls. And it's so much different than what we normally do. It's almost like we're not really going to be helping as much as, you know, possibly as much as we normally would. It's kind of scary. Right.
Definitely.
Well, and I'm wondering how many people actually think they have it. You know, like, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people out there who might have, like, just a common, like, sniffles or the cold or something. You know, the hysteria is they've got it. You know, and I'm curious, the ratio is probably high. If someone's starting to get sick, they probably automatically think they have it.
Yeah, I think it's probably a worst case scenario. They think that they've got this, and oh my God, it's like, you know, I'm going to die from this or something. And, you know, and it's a bad situation right now, but this is still, we're still like on the tail end of the cold, or the flu season and all. And, you know, so the symptoms are so close that it's hard to tell, you know, real quick what you might have.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so without the shortness of breath and a fever, I think you're probably okay.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And as we were saying, you know, there's been a lot of, everything has been canceled, and I know you had a big event that you just canceled, and it was for a very good cause, and I know you're doing some other stuff to support that cause, so what are you doing to kind of change gears?
Well, it was kind of tough. We had the suicide awareness event scheduled at Ashmore States coming up the 3-day for April 17th, 18th, and 19th, and I decided to pull the plug on it today, especially when the CDC comes out and kind of mandates that no more than 50 people at a gathering, and then the president and the governor has pretty much said, you know, you really don't want to do over 10, and it's kind of one of those deals where you have to come down and just say it's not worth it. I mean, just because, I mean, I sat there and thought about this since about Saturday or Sunday, what I wanted to do. And, you know, I thought, you know, if one person would be sick or get sick and come from this event, even though they may have brought it with them before they even got there, I'd feel terrible. And
right.
I just couldn't do it.
I totally understand that. That's definitely, you know, good looking out. You know, better to be safe and, you know, try to curb that kind of possible risk. I feel the same way, you know. I think everybody probably would.
Yeah, well, and what I did too this morning, I had sent a message out to all the speakers that were coming to the event and, you know, that I was going to be doing this. And then I just started sending refunds to everybody because I don't want to sit there and there's been so many fraudulent situations going on in the paranormal community with the event promoters and things like that. So after letting everybody know that I wasn't going to do it with the speakers and things like that, I sent an email out to everybody and told them, hey, we're going to cancel this. You're going to get your money back. And we went through Eventbrite and everything. And when you refund people's money, and this is one thing that most people didn't realize, because I didn't realize it because I've never had to do an event this size with refunding money, is you have to do everyone individually.
Yep.
And it took me about an hour and a half to just send people's refunds back. Just click and click this and click this. So, some people panic when they don't get the refund real quick. But if you're going to a huge event that's being canceled, it may take a day or two before somebody actually has time to sit down and send every one of those out.
I totally understand because I am going through that right now with my work. We're rescheduling all of our tours and reservations and all the groups that have booked, and my accounting department is not in. So I really am at a crossroads where I understand, and I'll take note of everything, and I have to basically tell them when they're allowed to return, I'll be able to give you money. They don't like that so well. They don't like it.
Oh, no, they really think that you're probably just going to steal their money from them. And, you know,
right.
It's like, they just don't understand that, no, we're not doing that. It's just a matter of we can't do it right now. But
it's a scary time, and I think that, you know, it's a shame, you know, because I know that your cause obviously is a great cause. And have you had anyone who has, like, almost, is there a way for them to refuse the refund? If they want to give?
Yeah, I had a few people that emailed me that after or sent me messages and things like that as I was actually sending refunds out. I'm like, oh, I've already sent yours out. And they could do that, but I'd have to send an email out to everybody and say, if you don't want your money back, I'll donate it, which I can do. But then I got to try to keep track of which ones want it, which ones don't want it, and how long do you wait before you send it back? And it could have been a week-long process. So I decided what I did is I sent everybody their money back, and then I sent I posted it out there that we were doing, and that if they wanted to make the donation of their refund or a portion of the refund back, because some people were, you know, bought a lot of tickets and things like that,
that
they could send it straight out to the awareness, and I posted a link, you know, on the page there. And
fantastic.
So,
well, maybe we can share that link, too. We'll share that link,
sure,
too, so that way we can get that out, you know, because it's a great cause, and obviously I'm sure, you know, a lot of people who perhaps wouldn't have been able to make it to the event would like to, you know, support that cause, so we'll be sure to share that link as well.
Well, and Dustin Perry was supposed to be there, and he had to, you know, and so we had to cancel with Dustin, and he's going to return the fees that we gave him. And I told Dustin today, I sent him a text, I say, you know, when I get that, I'm just going to donate that to the suicide event. And I said myself, because that was my money that I forwarded to him. And so I said, I'll just donate that to the cause. So we'll send that away, you know, anyway, so they'll get something out of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do it. And I didn't have any dates to reschedule it, so there was no way I could do that.
Wow. So you had a busy day.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I started off last Tuesday with a pacemaker, and then kind of kept going since then. So,
wow, holy moly, that's quite a week.
In fact, Rob called me last week when I was 2 weeks ago, I guess, when I was getting ready to go see the doctor, and then the following week, you know, last Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon, they had to put a pacemaker in. So,
we
did that. So it's been a busy week anyway.
And yet, you're still doing all that stuff.
I was back when I got done with the pacemaker on Tuesday, I was back at my desk on Wednesday morning about 6:30. So,
pretty sure you were supposed to be taking it easy, but we'll give you a break on that.
I was at my desk. I wasn't doing what I normally do.
Right. This is taking it easy. I'm, you know, taking it easy at my desk working. It's cool. I totally understand.
I told my doctor, I said, I promise you I won't be out climbing scaffolding or building cars or doing like that at all. I'll just kind of chill out at my desk for a while.
Right. He probably didn't mean that, but yeah.
No, he actually understood because I got to know him pretty well, and he back when he came back to the room and told me, because normally I tell people to be off 4 to 6 weeks. I know that's not going to work with you, so let's just do this. And so we worked it out. But
that's good.
I think the most interesting thing, though, with this, and you guys can appreciate this with the show and all, is that when they were putting the pacemaker in, I was supposed to be basically pretty much out of it, and I wasn't, and I was awake the entire time, and so we started talking. I said something to him, you know, that the nasal cannula with the oxygen they have on you in your nose. I said the hose has slipped out. I said, can you guys put it back in because it's kind of blowing weird. And they're like, what? And I told them, and he's like, you're awake? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why I just told you that. So he's like, okay. So they put it back in because they have your face all covered up and everything, so they can't see you at all.
Right.
And just protect everything so you don't sneeze in whether, you know, they got your chest open while they're cutting
right.
the stuff, putting it in. And so he's like, are you all right? I said, yeah. So he's like, so nothing's hurting. I'm like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, all right. And so the nurse is like, aren't you kind of, don't you do a lot of stuff in the paranormal? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I really find that fascinating. So we sat there and talked paranormal while he's putting a pacemaker in.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, it's like only me would sit there and talk, you know, the doctor about the paranormal stuff, and they actually asked me about Ashmore Estates because the doctor knew that I had this stuff because we talked about stuff like that before. And yeah, why he's putting the pacemaker in.
I miss Ashmore Estates. It's been a while since I've been out to see you guys and get to investigate there, and I have to say, I have to get back out. Because if anyone has not been there, which, Rob, you have not been there.
No, I have not, which is weird.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
I
don't know why. I don't know what the...
You need to go.
I don't even have a reason why. I guess it didn't line up with my schedule. There was something that was going on where last time you were there where I couldn't make it, and I can't recall what it was or is or... I can make something up.
Yeah, Nikki, every time I go out there now, walk past the showers, I think of you.
Oh, see, I know, because I insisted I have to have that.
That was pretty funny, actually.
An
because I didn't have anything left.
Right, and I'm like, no, it's the only place where I've actually been able to take a shower, please. It meant so much to me. It was amazing.
So your name's still above the door.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'll have to come out and visit for sure, and we'll have to get Rob out there. Rob, you have to go.
I'm good. I've got time on my hands now.
Unfortunately, everyone else is off work, but I actually still have to report, so I can't go.
I am not off work by choice. And my day job does not right now with the scare, it's not really, you know, I sell real estate full time, and people are not letting other people into their houses. So
I get it.
I'm kind of I'm kind of screwed. But so I'm taking side jobs. If anyone has any odds and ends or painting to do, I'm your guy.
Websites to build, right? Things like that.
Websites to build.
Well, you don't have to go in their house. You know, you can do it wherever you need to.
I'm clean. I bring my own hand sanitizer. Garbage
removal. I come with Lysol. That's a strange, you know, ad for hiring. I come with Lysol and wipes.
No, I think we will be opening up the Live Paranormal Web Design Division tomorrow. So,
after the show, right?
Now
how,
really,
Robin, how has this affected your investigations at Ashmore? Are you still allowing or conducting investigations for people who have booked it, are you not doing that right now? Or
no, we actually had one person earlier today that wanted to reschedule, and we did on another date, you know, but. And I've got another one that's thinking about wanting to reschedule, so I'm just waiting to hear back from them. But these were mostly in April, which, you know, who knows? It may be 2 weeks, it may be 2 months, or maybe 2 years. God only knows what's going to happen. But,
I know.
We're still scheduling events or scheduling investigations out there. The private investigations are easier to schedule because it's usually a smaller number, and I think the people know who they're with. And, so they have more control of everything there because of that. Now, we've got a public coming up the end of April, and I'm just kind of like, and it's sold out. And so, and there'll be 12 people possibly there. And so I'm just kind of waiting a little while to see what's going to transpire.
Right.
We've got basically 6 weeks, you know, to figure things out.
Yeah. It's made business very rough for many people. And I can definitely relate with that, you know, when it comes to having public events and such, you know, I've got things coming up scheduled for the first week of April and everyone else is canceled in between, but the first week of April is really when my tour season kicks off, and I can't imagine if we have to find somewhere to put all the rest of those people, or if they're going to be able to do it. It's really just put a monkey wrench, really, in everything. We're at a standstill till we get more direction, and it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it is, and it's gonna cost some people a lot of money.
Right.
You know, for me, unfortunately, it's more of a, owning Ashmore Estates is more of a hobby than anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not dependent on the salary and everything out there. But at the same time, I mean, because I don't take a salary out of there, but just the money coming in. But the money coming in helps pay the bills and helps, you know,
right.
you know, keep things going out there. So losing that can be a struggle, especially if
right.
it goes on, you know, past April into May and all. It's just like, you know, what are you going to do? It's just going to be tough to try to cope with it. And, you know, just things that I want to do won't be able to be done.
Exactly. Now, I know Rob is itching to ask about the I'll just let him go about the Gacy, about the book. He's dying.
We
he told me earlier.
Well, you know, we can sit and talk about, you know, the world ending for another hour, 2 hours, whatever. You know, but we did have Richard on, I think about 3 weeks ago, and he was talking and promoting this book and all the things that he had happened when he was out there, you know, and the reason why he decided to write the book. So I wanted to kind of just get your take on it, obviously. And, you know, did you get a chance to read the book in full prior to it coming out, or have you read it? Or
I have not read it yet. My wife read it, and which she was basically the one that was there the entire time when this whole thing happened. And I've had others that have read it that were there that told me that what he did was a very good analogy of what happened, you know, with, you know, that night. And there's really nothing, you know, nothing in there that's any tweaked anything. But that was kind of one of those deals where, you know, you hear so many stories in the paranormal and in the sci-fi world and everything. They're like, there's no way that this could happen. And that's one of those stories, because it's one of those that, unless it happened to you, you'd say there's no freaking way that this ever happened. But it did.
Right.
And you can sit there and say, okay, yeah, maybe, but there were so many coincidences that happened during that time frame, that day and that night that went on, that most people wouldn't have any idea. And in fact, the three mediums that were there going through the building had no idea about what went on, what was going on, what they were going to encounter, and the facts behind what they were seeing. So it was a bizarre time.
Now, what about since he's left? Has there been anything that's happened that would pertain to, you know, the research that he did that maybe has occurred since then?
Since Richard left, nothing's really transpired too much, and I really haven't done a lot of digging into anything. I know he had the book just about written, and he was talking to me in February. I want to say the 2nd, I think that was the date, February 2nd, we had an event here at the theater, and I've been having heart problems off and on at times, and my heart went into AFib that Saturday afternoon, pretty bad compared to where it normally does, and I actually walked away from the group that was there, you know, that during the event, went back and kind of sat by myself for a while, and, you know, the heart stayed in AFib the entire time. Well, the people the night before were trying to talk to Gacy and trying to see if they could get anything from him, and, you know, when Saturday night rolled around, it was still there. Sunday rolled around, it was still there, and then Monday, when I actually kind of left the building and went on a 911 call, it stopped and it cleared up. And so, and that's happened before to me with the thing why people are investigating. In fact, one night I actually had to go to the hospital. I couldn't get my heart to slow down. It was racing so much I couldn't get it to slow down. And said, I've been doing this EMT stuff for quite a few years, and I have an idea as to what to do. And I couldn't get it to slow down, so I had to go to the hospital, and they had to drug me, and then ultimately had to, you know, cardiovert me. But, and it happened when Brad Kling came back the second time that he was here. it started up again, and it did it about 75% of the time. So we've now decided, basically, I've got two investigations coming up that we're going to do, and then I'm pretty much not going to be doing it anymore.
Right. Understandably.
Well, now that's one that I would jump in a car to go do. So maybe you have to schedule a third sometime before the end of the year.
Rob's gonna push out.
I always keep my hopes up.
We did one night when I actually was wired myself to heart monitor so we could monitor everything. But I actually have one group that wants to come in and they want to investigate. And I told them, I said, if you guys are going to come in, I'm leaving the building. But what I was going to do is they're going to come in and just investigate, and then they want to do a session trying to reach out to him, and I'm going to wear a heart monitor, and they're going to see if anything changes. When they do that. So we'll have, like, walkie-talkies or phones or something back and forth where after they start doing it, then, you know, they'll get a hold of me when they're done and say, did anything change? Because we did it, like, 5 minutes ago and all, so... we thought about trying something like that just to see if it made a difference, but I'm not so sure I really want to play a human guinea pig with it either.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the, I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting for the research, idea, but as for, your health, I don't know if that's worth that risk there. That's a little scary.
Yeah, and after the pacemaker, if everything's running smooth, then I probably won't do it because it's like I'm not going to disrupt that. With the pacemaker in now and things are running really well with the heart in the last week, I'd probably just tell them, no, we're not doing that at all. So.
Right. You'll leave that one to somebody else to tackle.
Well, of course, it only actually happened to me. Nobody else had any problems when they did it, but except for myself.
It could be, I firmly believe that people get a connection with locations, especially, having, living in a location or working in a location. I really feel that they get almost either pulled to the location itself or they become almost, it's like everyone becomes one, if that makes any sense. And I think that it's like deeply connected. And I do think that sometimes there's disruptions that affect medically or affect emotionally that are tied to buildings. I know I have a pull to one specific location that is just, it's just weird. And I can't figure out why I'm so obsessed with it, really. It's kind of like questionable. I'm like, what's wrong with me? But I really feel
I agree. I think everybody has that situation at times.
Yeah.
With different locations and different, that's actually, it's kind of how when I bought Ashmore, that's what really the reason behind that. But the theater, I just live here, and I think the regular spirits, so to speak, the normal spirits in the building here, I think they kind of just look at, when I come down a hallway or something like that, I think they're probably like, oh, it's just him, and no big deal. And so they don't pay attention to me. They don't bother me. They don't say anything. They don't try to get my attention or anything.
That's funny. They're like, oh, that guy again. Whatever.
Yep. And
I feel
that's what I always get asked, so do you have a lot of experiences there? I'm like, no, not really. And every once in a while I might hear a voice or something in the building, but not like people would think if you're here, every day of the week all your life. It's like, nope, nothing really goes on.
Right. And sometimes I think, we become accustomed to, especially when you're living in the space, it's kind of like, well, that just happens. And you just kind of have almost like turned it off, if you will. Like you just don't even notice sometimes things that other people are like, did you just like, that's not normal. I had someone tell me, that's not normal. And I'm like, what do you mean? That just happened. It's just a thing. And they're like, that's not normal. And I'm like, oh, because it's my normal. It's just something that happens here and I don't pay attention to it, I guess. And, they were like, that's not normal. I had to be notified.
Yep.
Well, I think our final question for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Did you do anything for St. Patrick's Day, or did you just kind of do nothing everyone else in the world?
Yeah, pretty much stuck around the office and went to a meeting and then back here. So, it was pretty much. I quit. I gave up the drinking side of things 40 years ago or something like that. So yeah. So it's And around here, they've shut all the restaurants and everything are closed anyway, so you can't go out anyplace.
Exactly. Yep. I think everyone had a lamer St. Patrick's Day than they may be accustomed to. I'm not a drinker, but, you know, I would still at least wear green, and it's like I totally turned off my thought. Like, I didn't even think about it today. I just, it skipped my mind. With everything else going on, it kind of just didn't even register.
Yeah, I think that took a back burner with everybody this year.
For sure. For sure.
So it's a rather dull thing, or, you know, it's been a really bad thing. You know, to that, it's just bad. St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
We got nothing. We shouldn't have even. I'm glad I didn't even label it. I put like a couple little things on the image because I didn't think we were gonna even be able to talk about it because no one did anything.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up there, but I think we
got.
Yeah,
I thought about every word.
Me too. I kind of piecemealed it together and put my own in.
I tried to repeat myself, but as it was cutting out, I don't know what. It's probably Gacy. That'd be my guess.
There you go. Might be.
When all else fails, blame Gacy.
Damn him.
It could be a bumper sticker.
That damn Gacy.
That's funny. Well, again, Robin, we will share that link for suicide prevention. And, you know, even though you didn't get to have your event, thank you for the thought. And, you know, I'm sure many events in the future, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got more stuff coming up. And, you know, so we're looking forward to doing some other things, you know, this year and in the next year.
Awesome. Awesome. And where can everyone tune into your show that you do? Oh, wait, Live Paranormal. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. Only on Live Paranormal.
That's right.
Yep.
Tell everyone what time.
It'll actually be on starting. It'll be on again next Tuesday night. It's on every other Tuesday night. So it'll be on next Tuesday night, and it's on at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern. And basically, I just talk to different venue owners and about their locations and what they've got going on and things like that. So next week it'll be with Daryl from Post Town.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Well, everyone, be sure to tune into that and look for that link that we'll be sharing on Live Paranormal. And thank you again, Robin, for being our guest. And we're glad that your everything went well and that you're still here.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad about that, too. So thanks much.
And tell your wife
you guys
I said hi.
I will. I'll do that. So I'll wander back upstairs before long.
Yep. All right. Well, don't forget. Think of me when you think of that shower, okay?
That's a weird comment. That is like the weirdest comment.
That could be a weird sound bite for later, right?
It's our thing.
It's our thing.
So weird.
Well, thank you so much again, and we'll share that link here shortly. Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
You thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, hopefully my connection is better now that Gacy's gone, unless he's here.
Yeah, it got a little weird. Like, you've been fine, and then all of a sudden it was like,
no, I hit
and
it,
I was like, oh, okay.
I started to even repeated myself, and I was no, it's Gacy.
Are you sure about that?
You know who is coming up?
Okay, it's not Gacy. It just happened again.
Maybe Gacy's still here. He's still here.
He could be. Again, we've got our guest Harvey, so maybe Harvey can, you know, shed a little light on this and maybe a few other things as well. So without further ado, Harvey.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's been a while, guys.
I know. I miss you. It's been way too long. They make me work too much.
Yeah. Isn't that a pain in the ass? Too much
it
work?
Is. It sucks. I'm like, man, I want to talk to Harvey. And I'm like, you know,
yeah,
in the middle of
stupid
stuff at work. I mean, they should understand what's more important, my Harvey time. How have you been?
Well, let's see. Prior coronavirus or up until this point?
Well, give it all to us. Let us just share, right? Because it's been a while.
I've been, rather busy. Been conducting a lot of readings. My day job as a preschool teacher has kept me young at heart, I guess you would say.
Right.
I don't know what everybody's so worried about the virus. I work around little viruses all day long, 5 days a week.
Right.
I'm taking it serious because, I'm not sure if you guys heard, but I'm sure you have by now that it's almost the entirety of the state of California is sheltering in place right now.
Wow. I don't watch the news, so I didn't know. So do tell.
Yeah, well, the Bay Area has 9 counties of almost maybe a little over 7 million total people. Mm-hmm. And they're not saying that you can't go to the store. They're not saying that you can't take your dog out for a walk. Mm-hmm. But there's absolute, don't gather with more than, 5 people. With keeping social distancing and, it's crazy. We do have, I was just at the store today. There is food, food that nobody buys,
Right, exactly. Here too. Spam is on the shelf, and taco seasoning.
Now,
but that's about it.
Spam.
Spam is not bad. Spam is not bad.
Yeah,
a little bit of brown sugar.
Yeah, trust me.
I like it.
If that's all
sugar.
You had to eat, you would eat it.
I probably
spam
would.
Spam is one of those. Spam is one of those forever foods. It's, that are constant. And here it is. It's
you can blow
order.
The dust off, and you can probably just go ahead and eat it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
it's not going to matter one iota.
Right.
I mean, I've been reading. I mean, I think I've become more of a psychic therapist as opposed to. I do a ton of readings, but I think mostly, or it just seems like in the past, it's kind of like it's been a weird shift, from people wanting advice to people just wanting somebody to talk to,
Right.
To where, especially what I'm finding out is a majority, this is why I started a new page on Facebook. It's called the Paranormal Support Group.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is, it's a place, it's a safe place, a non-judgmental place to where people from all over the world can go and, especially people who've been afflicted by paranormal stuff, they don't have anybody else they can trust to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like group therapy is what it is.
Right.
So I just planted the seed and it's been kind of evolving all by itself. Now it's a private group.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've had a lot of submissions. A lot of people, have been sending people, my way. And,
mm-hmm.
How I do my Sunday insights
mm-hmm.
occasionally. I'm also going to try to do a live stream, kind of like be the facilitator of the group therapy, almost like a triple, like a AA meeting or something.
Right.
You have the facilitator.
Yes. Hi, and then they go next, and I go, hi, my name is Nikki, and I've been affected by paranormal activities,
absolutely.
Hi, Nikki.
So far, and what I've been introducing to it, I haven't been religious about it yet, but, because I've been so busy, but once a week, what I'm doing is I'm taking, a survey of topics that people would like to share, and then I'll choose one of them, and I call that my spotlight discussion, for
right.
the week.
Yeah.
And we just highlight it, and it's kind of funny because you would not believe, how many people are going, oh, my God, I'm not the only one.
Right.
Well,
we know that for a fact. We know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just felt it was something I'd been thinking about for quite a long time, and, so it kind of sprang from, my Sunday Insight show on my Paranormal Remote Viewer Harvey Althaus page
mm-hmm.
to where I actually, do like mini readings, for people. And that's, that's been taking off, rather well itself. But, I've become more of a therapist, And it's people, I think, Nikki, I say, you know, and Rob, you'll agree too. People just want validation.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
So if it's somebody who is a third neutral party that has nothing to do with them, it's easier to discuss and to share this kind of information.
Totally.
You know, and then, you know, on occasion, you know, I mean, I'm just doing a lot of, you know, you know, listen to the people. And even, even when I'm you know, answering their posts and going, and how does that make you feel? You know?
Right.
So, so, I mean, you know, it's needed and it's different and it's, people are very thankful, you know,
yeah,
that they have this available. But
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I, like I said, I still, you know, do my readings and I just, I'm getting those, you know, I have so many customers, but I think a lot of them are lonely people, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, they just want somebody to acknowledge that they're there, you know?
Yeah.
So they contact me and, you know, it's like, I don't have any, you know, I don't do anything after work anyways. You know, I just hang out at home with my family and record songs or, you know, draw, you know, which is
mm-hmm.
a couple of my hobbies or magic tricks, you know, but,
right.
Yeah, I'm a very boring person. Sometimes I think I'm Amish or something, you know, I'm very plain.
No, you can say you're Slamish. That's one of my words, Slamish. You're just
Slamish.
Slightly Amish.
I
yeah.
love
see?
It.
Slamish. Yes.
I
it's a
love
thing.
It. Well, it is. Well, I mean, you know, especially where you're at, but, I
yeah.
grew up around in Iowa. Iowa, Northeast Iowa, has the largest population of Amish, you know, communities west of the Mississippi River. And,
right.
you know, it's been like a bastion. It's been like Buchanan County, parts of Black Hawk. I mean, you know, like 24 counties have become like Lancaster County is in Pennsylvania. You know, they're just, I mean, they're good, they're great people, you know, but it's just like, you know, they keep them, you know, they try to stay within their community, and, although they know it's modern times. And, yes, they have people, they have Uber service and all that stuff. You know, my dad used to, you know, one of my dad's last jobs was driving them around, you know, taking them out of state or taking them to doctor's appointments or, you know, because a horse and buggy, you know, they'll only drive maybe 10, 15 miles away from the house in a horse and buggy.
Right.
You know, anything further,
yeah.
they need a car, you know.
Yeah.
So they just don't own it, you know. But
fair
so,
enough.
But anyways, yeah. But other than that, I'm doing
see, it's
I'm
different.
Doing.
It's different here in Ohio. The Amish do all of our new construction, and they all come
oh,
with
yeah,
trucks
they,
and use power tools.
Right, right. And it's funny because $10 says that none of those trucks – and yeah, they do that in Iowa too. I mean, they do have the construction. They you name it. They have Amish people do it. But
right.
as in Iowa, you know, they have the trucks, they have the cement mixers, they have the, you know, whatever. They have all the power tools. They
mm-hmm.
just don't keep them on their farms.
Right. They're living
you know,
the outside there when they're working. They're living the Slamish life.
Right. Absolutely.
It's
you know,
the movement.
They
it
have to
be.
Make money. But, you know, it's funny because yeah. a lot of the Amish people that I knew growing up in Iowa, you know, in my part of Iowa, you know, they're very well off. You know, money wise, because they don't pay taxes, you know.
Right.
And you know, my dad used to be jealous as hell about that, but you know, he had to get over it because we got great friends in the Amish community, you know.
Right.
So I and plus
yeah.
they like paying cash, lots of cash, you know.
Oh yeah.
So I said, you know, so my dad, I think my dad finally just went, oh, okay, this is, well, I'm jealous of him, but I'll let him pay me cash. You know,
right.
but great people, you know, don't
definitely.
Get me wrong out there, people. They are great people, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, so you've been busy, and I know Rob's been, you know, busy as well doing all this stuff, this and that. And hey, Rob, how's real estate been going for you? Just curious.
Actually, I think about, we had a meeting today. I think we're up to 70% of all showings are being canceled because no one wants people in the house. But
yeah.
the moral of our meeting was if 70% of the people are canceling the showings, our goal is to get the other 30% of people on board with us.
There you go. Take the time to do it. Absolutely. And still, and there's virtual tours, right? There's no reason why they can't, you know, take a virtual tour and still do a bid. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
You know, the rates have gone down.
It'll be ready to boom once people aren't afraid.
Oh, absolutely.
We put together a mailing today that said about, you know, not to be afraid. Buyers are ready to, buy your house and inventory is low.
Right, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to get worse in Morrock rock before, you know, it all straightens out where everybody is watching and this is what's happening. Because they've been saying that we're anywhere from 8 to 10 days behind Italy, literally following their same projection. You know,
that's scary.
Now on the rise, and there's, 4,000 confirmed cases, within 49 states of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and over 100 deaths, you know. But hopefully by, you know, sheltering in place and people doing it, you know, self-quarantining and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
But we'll get through this. I mean, God, I lived through H1N1. Measles as a kid. We'll get through this. Hopefully we'll come out wiser, and at least
we're prepared for things of this sort.
Absolutely. You know,
I know I will never run it this low on toilet paper ever again.
Well,
I know personally. My personal preparation will be to have ample TP on hand so that when everyone else buys all of it, I have some.
Right. And I, you know, and on that note, you know, that's just, you know, people hoarding this stuff and then we find out that people are selling it on eBay.
Yeah, that's annoying.
You know, a 6-pack of toilet paper for $249.
So anyway,
eBay shut all those down. Thank God. But, it took them a few minutes to turn them off before people was making money. But I've always told everybody, no matter where you're at in the United States, where you're at in the world, everybody should have some kind of two-week, you know, a minimum two-week supply of emergency stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody should have it. You know, kind of they call it a bug-out pack, whatever you want to call it. You know, because you never know. And here we are, you know,
living it,
living it, right? And we're seeing the horror. Well, it's not the horror yet. I just hope it doesn't get any, you know, worse than that. I mean, the grocery stores have food, like I said, but you can really tell what Americana, you know, people eat. We all eat pretty much the same thing, but especially working class fifths like we are, everybody eats hamburger. And can you find hamburger? No.
Can't find bread. You can't find milk. You can't find eggs. You can't find toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did get peanut butter, and I even got it for free. I was so excited, but I got nothing. I went for at the store, like everything that was like on my important list. It wasn't happening, and I went to multiple stores, and I've given up now.
Right. My sister-in-law in Arizona. She lives in Chandler, Arizona, and she has yet to see any toilet paper any place. And she says, I'm getting kind of scared because it's getting really low in my house. I mean, there's alternatives. And, you know, I was making a joke. I said, well, maybe that's what happened to all the left socks in the world at one time.
Right. Well, I've already said, you know, and I saw the meme, so I know I'm not thinking alone. I said, you know, I'm just going to make the kids scoot across the yard like the dog does.
Right.
You know,
you
got to do what you got to do.
Right.
They can
do
that.
You know, you do it. And we'll work it out. I mean, as soon as we climbed out of the trees, we worked it out, you know, to get to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're all in, you know, not predicting any of this at all. We're just, you know, we're all in the learning curve at the same time, you know. So hopefully that, you know, Washington is observing and absolutely taking notes. So we actually... You know, we always have these worst-case scenario playbooks, but I don't think they – I'm not saying they didn't see this coming. It's just that it's unbelievable how not ready we were.
Right.
You know.
I agree.
That's that's the worst part about all of this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we'll get through it. We'll get by it. Yep, people are going to die. It's just statistics. Absolutely. And it's really sad. But, you know, that's why we need to all do our part and be serious, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. You know, it's not a joke. It's not a hoax. Never has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here. It's just, you know what? We're all in denial. You know?
Yeah. Totally.
So, you know, we'll get through this. Absolutely. You know, but, speaking of readings, you know, being a therapist, I mean, I've done a lot of readings, but, you know, I mean, I've had a spike, you know, since the virus started, but nobody's really, you know, asking me, like, hard questions about the virus, because I'm
mm-hmm.
going to let all your listeners know. You know, I'm not a doctor, you know, I don't know. I said, even one lady, I said, do yourself a favor and call your doctor. Although they're saying if you don't have any need to go to the hospital, stay away, you know,
right.
the sick people
yeah.
going there. But, you know, they have nurse hotlines, you know,
yeah.
just, you know, for advice, you know.
Yep.
Or,
mm-hmm.
or I want, you know, I believe that everybody knows at least somebody who's a medical, you know, in the medical field,
mm-hmm.
You know, nurse wise, and
yeah,
you know, I'm fortunate in my wife's family. There's, you know, not only doctors but you know, medical, you know, nurses, very capable nurses,
mm-hmm.
you know, that could possibly give advice. And one of them, and one of my wife's cousins, she works, you know, she's the head the head nurse in
mm-hmm.
infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
department of the hospital. Yeah, she's been a little busy to, you know, talk to us.
Yeah, probably hasn't had time to return that phone call just yet. And
no,
the other resource
don't
realize probably is if they do have health insurance, if they're lucky enough to have health insurance, usually there's a nurse helpline on the back of their insurance card that they can utilize and get further direction, you know, and to take advantage
absolutely.
Of that rather than to go out there and possibly – you know, where do I not want to go right now? I really don't want to go to the hospital because I know
right.
that I'm more likely to come in contact with somebody who's got something going on.
Right.
You
yeah,
know,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so that is true. So the thing here is what is everybody that, you know, we should be doing anyways, every single time,
right.
stop touching our face. Don't stick your fingers up your nose. Don't lick your fingers. You know,
right.
wash your hands correctly. A lot of people don't know how to wash their hands, Nikki.
I know.
You know? And
yep.
those are all
and,
my favorite things,
I mean,
though.
Yeah.
That's what's hard. I love to, like, stick my fingers up my nose and lick my fingers. It's like that's – I have to keep my fingers in my hands in my pockets.
TMI, Rob, TMI.
Right. And now the problem is he has no sports to watch to take his mind off of. You know, everything. Now he's doing
that.
It twice as much. So,
okay. So, Rob, so this
you,
is,
this is why you have no listening.
Yeah.
I've amped up my nose picking, I guess.
Right. Okay. So, Rob, you need a distraction. This is what I've been telling everybody, too. Everybody needs to have hobbies. Nikki, you'll agree. Rob, you'll agree. Everybody
yeah.
needs hobbies. I
mm-hmm.
already mentioned, you know, I do magic. I'm either constantly learning magic, you know, reading books. Or perusing all my old ones, or watching videos, or I'm drawing. You know, I'm sure you've seen the pictures that I posted in, you know, on Facebook. But it's just it's something that makes you focus on something else. You know, to
mm-hmm.
take to Rob to take you away from your bad habits.
Yep.
Okay.
And you have
you
to
know,
use
you
your
know,
hands,
I'm...
so your fingers out of your nose. If you find
absolutely.
Something that you like to use too. You know,
absolutely.
It'd be a
or if you're really
well,
into
just
treasure
to be
digging,
clear,
you should pick
I
up
was
a shovel.
Making a joke.
Right.
We know, Rob. We know you.
We are fully aware of how you are.
Along with you. Right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure everyone out there realized
yes,
that
Rob,
I did not
yes,
actually.
Rob's going to Nose Pickers Anonymous when we get off here.
Yeah,
he's going to his special online meeting.
Just playing around with you, Rob. Just keeping it fresh. Everybody needs to laugh right now, right?
Yes. And there's not much of that going on.
No, there's not.
You know,
not.
And I think people are missing that social contact, too. And I think that, you
yeah.
know, you're going to see with what you're doing a spike in that because people aren't getting out as much, obviously.
Right.
They can't
Right.
And I think that, you know, I know I've seen, which I'm very limited on the amount of time I'm actually on Facebook. Most of the time, if I'm on, I'm actually at work posting or doing something for work related
right.
to
that. Right.
But I've seen a lot more of the green bubbles, you know, showing
yes.
that people are on and people are looking for
right.
something to do, you know.
Right, absolutely.
So,
Facebook's going, yay for us.
Mm-hmm.
Got,
and all those ads,
3 weeks. Yeah, and all the ads, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know what's scary about that is, see, what mm-hmm. a lot of people don't understand, Facebook. Now, once in a while, I get these messages saying that Facebook, you know, is updating your camera or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I feel is what they're doing is, as they're updating your camera, they're looking into your wherever your thing is, looking at what can we send them. Oh, I see. I see a Coke can. Let's send them a Coke ad, you know.
Right.
So what you can do is you can go into, you know, your settings, and you can turn your camera off, you know, for your computer or your phone. You can turn it off, and you will get a sign, you know, a message from Facebook that will say, "Oh, we've been trying to access." Or the one thing I got was, if you're going to use live stream or if you're going to do video chat, you'll need to have your camera back on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm going, yes, when I want to. And then
right,
I
didn't hit that
is,
button, so why do you care, right?
Right, well, they do care because they want to send you advertisement. It's amazing because one time, like I said, I was doing whatever, and I saw mm-hmm. that flash up, and I didn't think about it. And then all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, I get this ad of this box of cereal that I had sitting on my kitchen table. So,
we know
so
all
too
well that our ads base, like, I swear it's like the microphone must always be on because we'll be
mm-hmm.
talking about something really peculiar, like really,
right.
really weird. And then
right.
we will get a random ad for it. And we always laugh and then take a picture and send it to each other going, yeah, they're not listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this is how it works, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about Big Brother, maybe not so much governmental, but definitely, you know, on the corporate level.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, because this is how Mr. Zuckerberg, you know, keeps getting his billions and billions of dollars.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
I mean, I got to give him credit. You know, he built the better mousetrap. That's for sure. You know, and everybody's
yeah.
trying to, you know, and since then, since Facebook's conception, everybody
mm-hmm.
else has been trying to emulate what he has. You know, what he cornered the market in. So.
Right.
But
totally.
That, of course, that's just my opinion, you know.
If only I could mm-hmm. do something with the nose picking to make money.
Well, no,
there's probably
something.
A study. It's going to come up on Nick's phone now.
Yeah, yeah. Send your
finger licking.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
hopefully the two aren't related.
Right.
Oh, definitely
so,
related.
Yeah, so speaking of where you know, finger licking good could hurt them would be Kentucky Fried Chicken right now. We used
yeah.
to say finger licking
right.
good, but we can't do that now.
Right. Nope. And if they're tuning in, they definitely would change their slogan.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going, Kentucky Fried Chicken, coronavirus free. Don't lick
That's
your
right.
fingers. Yeah,
just... Don't lick your fingers, though, before you come in. Yeah, oh, before
right.
you go through the drive-thru. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things everybody took for granted, and it's habits, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's habitual, you know, it's our habitual habits that are going to be the hardest thing for us to, you know, to convert, because right now it's going to be a major change, you know, in
mm-hmm.
our life patterns, you know, for God
yeah.
knows who knows when. You know,
well,
and,
see, Harvey, I don't cook. I don't cook, okay? So this has become very stressful because I do not cook. By the time I end up getting – I don't really enjoy it in this house. I don't
right.
like my kitchen. I used to cook. I don't anymore. It's just – it annoys me. So
well,
I rely heavily
you,
on going out, right?
Right.
That's how
right.
I feed my kids.
Right.
So this is a big monkey wrench. Around here, they're still allowing carry out. I don't know how that is
right.
where you're at.
We still have people, you know, I mean, they still have our stores open.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a lot of we've here in South San Francisco where I live,
mm-hmm.
They have always had this funky drive-through
grocery store that's been here forever. Everybody always laughs and jokes and ha-ha, you know, but who's laughing now?
Right. They are smart. They were prepared for this. It's like they knew it was coming. They were like, we know.
It's been around for 50-some years, I think.
Wow.
You know? And, it's went through many different, family hands, but, yeah, who's laughing now? You literally drive in. You can either tell him what you want or just hand him your list, and he'll fill it right there and put it, and he'll either put it in your trunk or he'll slide it out to you through the window.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I had one here.
Right. Right.
That's awesome.
Like I said, who's laughing now? It's there's a line of cars. He's right across the street from our car wash,
right.
And both of those places are busy, Every once in a while, you see one or two, maybe three people, and it's like, how the F is this guy staying in business?
Right.
I bet
things
you a
like
gallon
it.
Of milk is like $400,
Right.
Now there's a conga line around the block, cars
right.
waiting to get in.
I bet.
I drove by a couple of days ago, and he says, stop asking for toilet paper. I don't have it. A big sign.
That's smart because it could have saved me a few trips inside of Walmart if they would have just put a sign out that says, look, we don't have the following. It would have just saved my time.
Right. What I'm surprised is that they don't have picture like ticket scalpers, out in front of those stores, toilet paper. I got toilet
right,
paper.
Right, or the guy
me.
With the jacket. He's opening it up. He's going, you like double ply, single ply.
Yeah, I got four ply. That's going to cost
right.
you.
Right, plush, baby.
Here's one roll for free. I'll be here tomorrow. I'll give you one
right.
free sample.
You like it? Come back.
Right. Right.
Isn't that horrible? It's what we've come to.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's comical thinking about it. Just think of all the memes you could do,
Oh, yeah.
But, Yeah, but it's just, unfortunately, it's the people,
reality.
are lemmings, and it just starts one person not doing a run, and then everybody does it, it doesn't matter what it is, look what happened in the, 1930s, the late 20s during the stock market crash, all the runs on the banks,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people wanted their money out, and, that didn't help very many people, and but then runs on whatever else, and now we're seeing runs, on food and toilet paper, cleaning supplies.
Yeah.
I was walking around, and my wife, not walking around, my wife's a school teacher, and she had a few cases of Purell hand sanitizer in squirt dispensers that she forgot all about. Because, being a teacher, public school teacher, unfortunately, when I went to school, all their supplies were provided by the school district.
Right.
Now the list
is really weird. Right.
Yeah. They put a post-it up on the board saying, I can really use this in my classroom, for your child, for the children.
Yeah.
So she got a plethora of Purell hand sanitizer 1 year. So
nice.
Thank goodness for that. And I'm going, you got liquid gold here,
It's true. Yeah. There was a guy on Amazon who bought 1,000 cases, apparently, of hand sanitizer. And he was going to make all this money, and he ended up getting shut down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people don't understand that you can go online. Well, trying to find isopropyl alcohol now is everybody,
found
out.
Yeah, you can't.
You can make your own sanitizer with aloe vera and a minimum of 60% isopropyl alcohol,
Well, around here, you can't find alcohol.
Right,
I went into the store to even try to buy some kind of cleaner before I went into work on Monday and just so I could, clean the phones and stuff in the guest services area because we've had people in there. And, I found a bottle of bleach cleaner. You would have thought I found gold. It was like hidden.
Yeah.
And I found it. And I was all
excited. Get away from me. This is mine.
I got it. Thank you. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're fine. You touch it and die. This is mine. Just
mine.
It's like Black Friday every place,
Yeah. It really is.
And I can't remember somewhere close to me in California, there's two ladies were fighting in Walmart for, you know, elderly ladies were fighting each other, not only verbally but physically, you know, over toilet paper.
And I'm going,
well, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, because it was captured on a security camera, I'm going, God, that'd be a great thing to put on YouTube right now.
Right. You know? Yep. Think of the views.
Yeah,
I think Rob witnessed the fight. I have not witnessed a fight yet.
Wow.
I witnessed a fight at the grocery store, but then I realized that I have a grocery store fight. I have a Trader Joe's that's in my office complex, and it's as if I've gone back in time to last month. Today I picked up anything I wanted. They had ground beef. They had
They are not going to have anything left.
Of fruits and vegetables. They had anything that
you
I wanted.
You just shared your
fresh.
Secret.
Right.
So,
I
just walk over on a daily basis and buy.
Right. Well, a lot of the Hispanic stores out here, you know, the mom and pop grocery stores out here in my old town, they had all kinds of stuff, you know, because they serve their community. And then the secret got out. You know, they had butcher counters and all that stuff, you know. But all our swanky, you know, we have high, like boutique grocery stores out here that are, you know, you think of Trader Joe's, but then there's Lenardi's and Albert, Molly Stone's.
The bougie stores.
Exactly. The bougie stores. I mean, even they had a run on hamburgers. They call it ground loin. But you know, if you want to, you know, if there's all kinds of lobster and crab and shrimp and all this other wonderful stuff that most normal blue collar people can't afford, you know, you can, you know, you can pretend you're rich for a little while, you know.
Yeah, if you're making money. If your business doesn't close and doesn't pay you, you're ramen noodles for life, baby. And they're sold out, too.
I was very fortunate that my company was able to do that for us. We're officially closed tomorrow. We've been open since day one of this, you know, when the CDC was starting to tell everybody, and the assistant to the infectious disease the assistant director of infectious diseases, you know, was listing places that should be closed right now, you know, and one of them was daycare/preschools, you know, but we were staying open because, you know, the company that our parent company is Genentech, which is owned by Roche Pharmaceutical. It's a pharmaceutical company out here in the Bay Area. And, you know, their whole thing is, you know, as this take hold, they still have to manufacture prescription drugs.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and, but anyways, we were going to be open with a skeleton crew because they needed to have their researchers, scientists, chemists, and production people. They needed them working. So we were going to be open to provide daycare for them. But then finally it kicked in that, I mean, we've already had a child in the preschool in one of the houses that I work in. His mother was in Basel, Switzerland, and upon arrival back to the United States, she was put into quarantine.
Oh, boy.
You know, so I was around that little boy.
Right.
Know? So I'm like, I think everything's fine. I think I'm fine, but, you know, but then – we were just told today, I got to leave early, that we're only going to be open for the rest of the week until Friday. And then they're not going to have, you know, the daycare/preschool available.
Right.
You know,
for the
people who are still working, you know, but my company still get paid. Our employees still get paid, you know, which is a great thing. We're all, you know, we all need money, but there's so many others. I mean, I just heard a thing that, you know, Walmart, you know, Wally World is, also Amazon. You heard Amazon's closed down. You know, most of
No, I didn't.
Most of Amazon is closing down.
Oh, my.
And it's, you know, because they just really want to STEM, you know, STEM this academic as, you know, as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it takes is to have, you know, everybody shelter in place, meaning very restrictive in our gatherings and our dealings. And they're even talking about, you know, postponing the mail, you know.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you know, when it gets to that point, I mean, it was, I jokingly said, well, if I hear Disneyland closed, then we're going to hell in a handbasket, you know.
And it did, yeah.
And it did, right.
Yeah.
I mean, they would even be open during an atomic bomb blast, and they'd call it a new ride or something.
Right. Market it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come do
yeah.
it. Yeah, come to the Neutron, you know. Yeah, so... So, yeah, I mean, but fortunately, I'm still getting paid. And even our part-timers, as long as they had a fixed schedule, like my daughter, I got her a job there, they're going to be getting paid as well, which is a great
thing.
Oh,
wow, that's nice.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. But, again, there's lots of people out there that, unfortunately, their company can't afford to pay them, you know.
I understand that completely. We have that situation where, you know, we have – no, we don't have the money coming in to be able to, you know, keep
right,
the
right.
staff, you know, paid, unfortunately. And
right.
it's really
well,
affecting a lot of people really badly
right.
already,
well,
you know.
Well, I've heard, and I've done a little research into it, one of the steps that the administration, you know, the Trump administration is trying to, there's a lot of things that he says, as you know, he just
mm-hmm.
can't, although he'll say it, and I understand why he's saying it, but it doesn't get implemented that fast. But one thing
right.
that looks like it will be implemented fast is this whole thing about unemployment. I think
mm-hmm.
they're going to wait, you know, that I think they're going to make the process streamlined. And as
mm-hmm.
opposed to having that waiting period of 1 or 2 weeks prior to your first check, you know,
right.
I think they're going to waive that intermediate
mm-hmm.
part.
You right.
know.
We got a notice about that today too. Yeah. That would be, I'm
right.
sure, helpful to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever, you know, and what I would like to see, I'd even go a little bit further, you know, we also heard about they're trying to get the banks to postpone mortgage payments,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also people who rent, you
mm-hmm.
know, to get the landlords to, you know, but that's a logistics thing that I have no idea how they're going to
yeah.
do that, you know, but... You know, I look at it this way. Without us, there is no corporations, right?
Right. Yeah.
So who do you need to take care of? This is why I was very impressed by Steve Mnuchin, you know, the Treasury Secretary, you know, that he brought up this $850 billion, you know, spending thing to, and he was saying today that, you know, the American worker needs this money now more than anybody else. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to really try. And he said, you know, hopefully, and it's like he's crossing his fingers behind his, you know, in front of him, that we're going to get this money out to people via checks.
Right.
You know, he didn't say how much,
mm-hmm.
but you need to put it to people that could use it, you know, especially
yeah.
if somebody's going to lose their house, if somebody's going to, you know, because they can't pay the rent. You know,
right.
All that stuff. I mean, this is a good direction.
Mm-hmm.
Is it late? Absolutely. But are they working on it? Yes.
Right.
You know, but let's just hope that not that many people perish before we start seeing some fruits of their effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, yeah, but yeah, so we're all in it together. And,
yes.
You know, this is why I was saying, you know, you got to have humor. You know.
Oh, totally. Now, while we're all down and we've got time on our hands, because let's face it, a lot of people are in that situation where
right.
maybe they aren't working or they're not going out and doing the things they normally would, and they want to get a reading from you. How do they reach out to you to do that?
Okay. Well, I'm on Facebook. You go through my – it's called Paranormal Remote Viewer Harvey Allshouse. I know that's a mouthful, but, you know, it's what I do. Just, you know, private message me. Say you heard Nikki talk about it on the show or whatever, or just mentioned Nikki's name. And I mean, I've already reduced my prices. Last year I had to the end of the year sale I was doing, instead of, I usually charge $120 an hour, you know, for a 1 hour reading. And I've done a ton of those, but I was feeling generous that year, you know, last year. And so I took, you know, cut it 50%, and that took off tremendously, but it was until December 31st. And then I was going to put it back up to, actually I was going to raise my prices this year, but I said, you know what? I'd probably do more readings if I had it, you know. I mean, people want readings, absolutely, but a lot of people can't afford $120 or more.
Right, yeah.
You know, 60 was good, but, you know, I wanted to raise it just a little bit. So what I'm doing from now on, I'm no longer doing 10-minute readings. I'm no longer doing half hour or 45 minutes. All I'm doing is 1 hour, because 1 hour you need, you know, I need that time to really, you know, dig into this person, you know, to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, virtually, not literally, you know, getting you know, a really good contact with the person's energy that I'm doing the reading for.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes about an hour, and I always go over, but I never charge for extra. And that's $85,
right.
You know.
Okay.
I take PayPal, I take Venmo, you know, and if they're interested in a reading, they just, you know, like I said, contact me on Messenger and say, you know, Nikki sent me or whatever, just so I know how you guys are, you know, hearing about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll send them all that information. You know, that's
awesome.
How it works for me.
Very cool.
And as of right now, I used to do only Monday through Friday night from 7 to 8 my time, which is Pacific time. So if you're on the East Coast, I'm 3 hours behind you. If you're in the Central time zone, I'm 2 hours behind you. If you're in the Mountain zone, I'm 1 hour behind you. And then the West Coast, you know, it's... the West Coast, but yeah.
Very cool.
Well,
very cool.
We appreciate you coming on during these rough times, which I think most of us are just sitting around looking to do podcasts anyway.
So we should
do more podcasts together. It could be a new thing.
I could
do
after that, now that I have time.
We've got availability, baby.
You know, obviously you didn't run around and paint the top green today for Patrick's Day. We appreciate you being on our St. Patrick's Day special, which is not too special of St. Patrick's Day for anybody. But I did get corned beef, so that was cool.
You did your duty. I did not.
We didn't do the cabbage. I don't like cabbage. Never have. I mean, I like sauerkraut. But I don't like cabbage, you know, itself. So we had the corned beef with red russet potatoes, you know, boiled, and a green salad with broccoli.
Well, and there
was,
you did your green.
Okay by me.
Right.
Did the green.
You got it in. Yep.
So I went to work today, you know, this morning before I went home. I'm going, I forgot what St. Patrick did, you know. Well, I'm German Native American, and I'm Danish. You know, also, but my wife, you know, her mother's maiden name was Holleran, which was shortened from O'Holleran, and they're from County Cork. You know, her ancestors are from Cork in Ireland. But anyways, I'm like, I had a little pin made up, a little badge pin I made up, I don't know, 25 years ago, and it's green, and it says in white letters, it says, "Pinch me not, Irish for a day." You know,
right.
I forgot to wear it.
Oh.
And I'm like, crap, you know, these little kids, my preschoolers, they know about it, you know, about the.
Oh, they're decked out. Right. Yeah. Usually the parents go all out. Yeah.
And I walk in and the other teachers, and I'm going, why is everybody so green? And then I thought, because we are the greenhouse. I thought it was, you know, I said, did I miss a spirit day or something that no one told me about? And my director goes, duh, it's St. Patrick's Day. And I went,
I totally forgot
to.
I totally missed
it. So you know what I did? Just so I wouldn't be caught pinched or someone asking me, where's my green? I took some green construction paper and I cut out a little square and I put it pinned it on my shirt.
I should have done that, yeah. But no one even called me out on it. I think because, you know, we have very limited interactions with the public right now.
Right,
so really,
right.
It was my coworkers, and they forgot too. So we were all cool together. No one pinched anybody. It was a good day.
Right. Well, you know,
yeah.
And thinking back, I mean, you know, Chicago, I mean, I don't know what they do in New York or whatever, but I know in Chicago, St. Patrick's Day is a huge thing. They actually turned the Chicago River green.
Right.
You know, and that wasn't happening this year. You know, and I saw it on the news tonight. I'm going, okay, this is real. I mean, this is really, this is something. I mean, for a tradition that's been going back as long as this has for Chicago, you know.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's kind of, it was nice. It was nice going to work though today.
Yeah,
know?
I know, less traffic. I still hit, you know, a few cars in front of me. But let me tell you. It was nothing compared to my usual trek into work.
Right.
So
right. Well,
I did enjoy
you
that.
Know,
you know, I'll take my
right.
wins where I can get it. And if that was
right.
my win,
you know,
I'll take it.
Did
yeah.
you, you know, I would have, in that situation, and I've done it before, you know, when there's no traffic, but I will still drive 45, 50 miles an hour in the second and left-hand lane and pretending I'm in traffic. You know?
it's just autopilot traffic.
Yeah, that's
well,
what you're
see,
used
not
to.
For me. I'm used to flying up on the other cars and then, like, you know, and you know, yelling and stuff. So I still, you know, did that whenever there was a car in front of me because I couldn't break my usual.
So you purposely got behind somebody who was not even nowhere near you and you decided to drive over there. Right.
Just that's me. Yeah, just so I could take and, you know, get them out of my way because that's what I do.
You are so cool, Nikki.
But I had to, you know. I mean, it wouldn't be a ride with me, you know, while,
right,
you know, talking to Rob in the morning without yelling at somebody.
Right.
That's
yeah.
true.
We are
every time we talk, she yells at somebody. And I'm like,
we
me? She goes, no, I'm talking to that mother effer in front of me.
Yeah.
Don't you wish, Nikki, don't you wish you had a little, like, little door that you opened and it had these buttons that you could put laser, nuclear bomb,
or you
know
what I want?
Caliber machine gun.
Yeah, I want the front of my vehicle. I want one of those. Remember, like there was a little craze, at least locally, where some people bought these belts that had like the message that you could type in to go across it. Okay.
Oh, right.
I want that on the
right.
front of my car, so the people in front
right.
of me can get the message to get out
right.
of my way.
Well, I can't remember when this was back in the late 80s or 90s or early 90s. There was. This guy made these, it was a flip sign, you know, that looked like he used a ping pong paddleboard for it. But you
right.
flip the message and you'd pull up to somebody, honk your horn, and then you could say, you hit me or whatever, or, you know, asshole, whatever.
Right.
But he ended up causing more accidents because people, you know, took their, you know, became distracted. So they got,
right.
they had a cease and desist selling those orders.
Oh. Well, see, that's maybe why I need to speak to text. Boy, I would probably get shot. I would get shot.
Yeah, probably. Probably. You just like to live dangerously. That's
I do,
I like
and I like. I'm in a hurry to do everything. So, you know, the faster I get that, the faster I get it done, get out of my way. That's
right,
my mantra.
That's your motto. That's your mantra.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You either with me or you're gimme. Get out of my way.
Or you're in my way, right? Exactly. And Rob knows that all too
well
because it's the same when I'm organizing my paranormal equipment and such. So he's all too familiar with that. Yep.
Right. Good. So Rob goes, "Okay, I see you're busy.
He doesn't even bother anymore. He just stands off to the side and stays quiet.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have
try to rationalize it. It doesn't even matter.
Yep.
Rob, you're just playing it safe.
Keeping his safe distance. He's doing that social distancing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, social distance. You guys have been doing that, and you guys didn't even know that you're modeling for this, you know, for this reason.
We are.
So,
With his nose picking, you have.
I've said that about multiple things. I'm like, I've been ahead of the game. I won't disclose one of them because she thinks it's gross. But and I was just teasing, but I'd say that I'm ahead of the game on many things that I've done over the past, like, 10 years, many habits and things I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this was coming.
He had a psychic intuition.
I did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that. I've had a few people, you know, that I've done some readings for have pretty much said the same thing. They said they didn't know what it was, but they felt something tremendous that was, you know, not necessarily a good thing. You know, they couldn't put their finger on it, you know, but they felt that they needed to do something to get ready or tell people, you know, it's just, you know, so I think it's kind of like on when 9/11 hit, you know, you know, before people had these psychic, you know, intercepts, you know, if something bad was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I always say, you know, everybody is born with innate abilities. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as children, children are very aware of, you know, what's going around, especially little babies, you know, they see things that we don't, you know, they hear things that we don't. That's why, I mean, you're holding a baby, you know, I remember even my own children, you know, I'm holding him and I'm going, hey, why are you not looking at me? Who's back of me that you keep looking at and smiling and interacting with, but not me?
Right.
You know? And as the older, you know, as we progress in age, you know, we, through whatever upbringing, how our upbringing is, to religions, to mass media, you know, we just don't need to be intuitive or have to worry about it, you know, because we're told what, when, and where, and how to do something 24/7, you know, via mass media and all that stuff. So we don't have to live by our wits anymore. And that's how we live for millions. That's how man evolved for hundreds of thousands of years, is living intuitively, you know, because think about the Native Americans. Did they know that there was going to be a deer right outside their house? No. Did they have to go find that deer? Absolutely. And how do they do it? By, you know, communing with nature and reading the signs and anticipating, you know, where that deer could be. Just like the buffalo. There were millions of them at one time. And how do you not see a million buffalo?
Right.
Well, that's like on fed. It's like when I grew up in a farm, you know, before hunting season, deer, pheasant, quail, turkey, they're all over the place.
Right.
And the second the first season opened, they were scarce.
They had that intuition.
They know, absolutely.
Right.
You know, so I had to, when I was hunting, I had to intuitively think, you know, where? You know, if I was this animal, what would I be doing right now? And 9 out of 10 times, I was correct. I always came home with something, you know.
Right. Totally.
But, yeah, so, you know, we all have it. It's just, you know, it rears its head, you know, on occasions. Because, in Rob, you know, in the circumstance that you were just talking about, also, like I said, about the people from all these natural disasters, I mean, even as far back as, you know, ancient times, but people have these ominous dreams or feelings or whatever. But one of the biggest ones in recorded history was, you know, prior to the Titanic sinking, you know, of all these people having these dreaded, you know, visions, you know, of dread and naming a boat and seeing what happened, just like the people seeing the what happened in 9/11, you know. So people, and even the Spanish flu, you know, a pandemic in 1918 that, you know, took, I don't know, 40 million people, you know, around the world, you know, before it was done. Yeah, I mean, we get these things, and we are, I mean, it's so palatable that people who are, you know, receptive to it, Rob, obviously, you know, you were given a vibration or something, you know. And the thing is, Rob, you took action, to, you know, compared to where most people, they'll just sit around fretting about it. And they're saying, oh, this is coincidental. Oh, that's not going to happen. Oh, I'm being silly, you know. But, you know, but by, you know, getting that from that first twinge to that annoying, you know, this won't leave me alone, and you take action, some type of action, and then it comes to pass, you know, and you're just like, whoa, you know, but you're ready for it, or you've done, corrected your actions, or, you know, that it's amazing how, you know, how this whole, you know, psychic ability thing happens. I just think it's
I think
go ahead.
I was going to say one of the downfalls is I think I don't always correct my actions, and that's one thing Nikki can attest to, is I continue by a lot of my bad habits. But
right, no, I get
you
that.
On,
I get it. Yeah, I get that, and so do I.
We were going to talk about a bunch of like paranormal and psychic related stuff, and then we ended up talking about other stuff. So we'll have to reschedule a schedule again, because we wanted to talk about spirit guides. We wanted to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't even.
I think we've got plenty of time on our hands. Perhaps we could even do a special show, you know, because I think we've all probably got a little bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right
just,
now.
Just let
so
me know.
Maybe we'll get together
know.
And we'll figure out. Figure out another show, maybe even later on in this week or this weekend, because we'll.
Right.
And I think people are listening too, so that will help for readings. And think. We'll be in touch. So we appreciate you being on tonight. Our show has officially ended, and we are no longer live. We are now into pre-record, or we're into recording.
Okay.
So we will.
Yep.
Catch up with you, and we appreciate
it. And
you
it was great catching up with you. We've missed you, so thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
You know, thank you guys for this. Yes, we definitely get in touch with me.
Yeah, we will. Thank you so much. Have
All
a good
right.
night.
Good night, Nikki.
Stay
good
safe.
Night,
bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, everyone, that was Harvey Aldhouse. You can check his Facebook page, and we will post a link, if we haven't already, for his information, where you could book a private reading with him or take part in one of his groups. Harvey's an awesome guy, and he's, you know, just been there through a lot of remote viewings for investigations for us and things of that sort, and it's been a while, so I'm glad we got to catch up and you guys got to listen in on that. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. So much, and I feel as if we didn't even touch base on anything.
But
and,
we did. The things that we needed to talk about going on socially, which are,
like,
you know.
He was mentioning a therapy session. It was more of like a therapy session. So
I had one
hopefully
just
everyone
now. I feel
enjoyed.
Better. Our therapy.
And we will be back next Tuesday for sure. We have a guest. We'll post that probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we might post a special show where we actually talk about topics of the paranormal and psychics
like
and psychic ability.
Show.
Within the next couple of days, I guess we will talk about that momentarily and get that posted as well.
Yeah. So thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you. Check out the Live Paranormal Facebook page and head on over to liveparanormal.com. to check out other shows that we have on the Live Paranormal Network. And like he said, we'll be back next week for sure. But in the meantime, you just might get a little bit extra. So stay safe and Corona free, my friends. Okay? That's important. Have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.